We greet our friends everywhere with Chapter 9 of Frank Was Always a Lady, the story of Frances Willard. This is another in the series Stories of Great Christians and is brought to you by the Moody Bible Institute of Chicago. The new president of the Genesee Wesleyan Seminary at Lima, New York, was just 5'3", slender, and red-headed. If you had been watching her leave the train in Lima with her friend Kate Jackson on that fall day in 1866, you wouldn't have guessed that Miss Frances Willard immensely disliked the prospect of another year as school teacher, even as dean of women in a Methodist seminary. And you wouldn't have known that she hated the whole business of being a woman school teacher, partly because she disliked teaching, partly because she resented being a woman limited to teaching as a career. And you couldn't possibly have known that Frank had just written these words in her own diary.
Dear diary, don't cheat yourself out of your rights. God thinks it good to have ambitions. You are on the earth. Now deal with the earthy. Feel the victory in you. That is my father's quaint, expressive phrase.
Yes, more than anything else, Frank Willard wanted independence. But until she found some way to get it, she was determined to make good in her new job, the sixth in 7 years. But making good seemed to involve making some changes in the school.
Until, if you'll pardon me for saying this, until you came, the outside door was always locked precisely at 10 and unlocked at 5:30 each morning. It was 5:30, was it not, ladies?
Yes, it was 5:30.
I'm a little disappointed, Miss Willard, that you've not realized the dire results if this schedule is eliminated.
May I ask...
Well, we're all women here, and I can speak candidly. A girl might, heaven forbid, slip out of her room and out of the dormitory and keep a clandestine rendezvous with a town boy. Or even with one of our own young men.
Miss Lacey, I don't know why you're telling me all this.
Oh, President Fuller, we're glad you're here.
Evening, ladies. Miss Lacey.
Good evening, President Fuller.
Miss Willard, Mrs. Hale. Evening, all of you. Miss Jackson? Where's your friend, Kate Jackson, tonight, Miss Willard?
She's tutoring one of the girls.
Miss Willard was just asking...
I heard her question. This is about the outside door.
You know about it?
Miss Willard, we've all been concerned because, you see, it is the Dean of Women's job to take care of the doors. This is a Genesee Wesleyan tradition.
I didn't know that. Offhand, I'd say that doesn't make much sense.
Oh, my dear, it has always been done this way.
Why?
Well, I believe it was dear old Catherine Clark who began the tradition while it was in the early years after our incorporation. She brooded over the girls like a...
Mother hen.
What was that?
Nothing.
Oh, well, Catherine regarded it as a sacred responsibility.
Miss Willard, the dean's room is nearest the door. That's another reason.
It's always been the dean's job.
More's the pity. Seems to me it's the janitor's business.
Ladies,
look, the janitor's room is just halfway down the corridor. He's always up by 5:30, and he makes a last-minute check at night. Let him do it. I don't want to get up at 5:30.
Oh, wasn't it dear Loretta Delamotte who used to say she got some of her best thinking done because she'd get up at 5:30 to unlock the doors? I'm sure it was because...
Well, I wouldn't.
Ladies, I believe Miss Willard has her rights. As Dean of Women, she has the choice. If she feels this is janitorial work...
Of course it is.
You must let her make the decision.
Is that your decision, President Fuller?
Yes.
Well, ladies...
I'll speak to the janitor myself, Miss Lacey.
Oh, I always feel so upset when I see traditions changed. It always seems to me like like the first step down.
Well, look at it the other way. Tradition is just something to step on, to get up higher.
Miss Willard, I hear that the Ladies' Literary Society is now defunct.
Not the society, President Fuller, just the name.
Perhaps you'd better explain.
Well, the president of the society convinced the girls a new name would be better.
And you convinced the president?
It wasn't easy. Do you know what she said when I told her point blank that the Ladies' Literary was just plain dull?
Mm-hmm.
She said, I don't think it's dull. I think it's a lovely name. And besides, it was called the Ladies' Literary Society when my mother went here to school.
And you said?
And you wonder why new girls don't want to join.
Another Genesee tradition gone.
Watch sharp, President Fuller. There'll be some more escaping.
Frank, is that you?
I think it's me.
You look awful. What happened?
Kate, if I didn't have you to come home to in this room, in this chair, I'd die.
Was literary society that bad?
Mm-mm, good. We voted, Kate. I got them to vote to dismantle their room.
You didn't.
Whiten the ceiling, rip down the draperies, junk those horrible old chairs, splash paint on every wall. It's amazing what you can do when you get the crowd behind you.
Even a crowd of women, Frank?
It's like I told Miss Lacey. Use tradition to climb up. We plan to rip out the old mantle, use it to stand on while we paint the walls.
That year, Frank jolted a few people out of their traditional ruts. She managed to shrug at the skeptics and quickly became very well liked. But in spite of her rebellion against the tried and true, she did not gain real personal freedom. She was still tied to a bell rope, as she said. Yet she continued to search for this elusive thing. One night, after an informal prayer meeting in her room...
Good night, girls. See you tomorrow. Bye. It was so much fun.
That was nice. I don't even mind cleaning up all this clutter. That was a worthwhile evening, now, wasn't it? Frank?
Yes, it was, Kate. I think little Sally is the most perceptive thing. Her way of praying...
Frank, is something wrong? Got a headache?
Kate, did you feel anything tonight?
No, we had a good meeting.
When the girls were sitting here on the floor in a circle, didn't you feel anything?
Well, when they were praying, I felt like I always feel, kind of worshipful and thankful.
No,
and...
Kate, didn't you feel there was a spirit in the room? Besides the girls, I mean.
I suppose so. You mean God?
No, I don't, Kate.
Then what do you mean?
Not really God. Oh, it's a part of God. It's from God.
What, Frank?
It's hard to put into words. I never felt this thing before. It's a spirit. A kind of power that comes from the girls themselves. I mean, the girls as a group, together.
That sounds weird.
It isn't. It could be if it weren't used right.
Used? Frank, you're over my head.
This spirit, this power, Kate, it communicated to me. Yes, it really did.
Well, what did it say?
It said what a lot of good could be done in the world if somebody could take a group and use that power, that spirit, for a cause. It's more than just the group together. It's over and above that. It's part of God, I think. I don't know what I mean exactly, but tonight it was there. I won't forget it.
Oh, I don't understand, Frank. I didn't feel anything. The prayers were sincere. The spirit was good.
See? Everybody knows this thing, but they take it for granted. The spirit was good, they say.
Frank, don't get upset. I think you need a vacation. You've been pushing pretty hard.
Well, if you think I'm having a breakdown, I'm not. There was a spirit. Someday I'll find it again, and next time I'll know more what I can...
Oh, taking my physiology class hasn't been easy for you.
It's been terrible, but you can't shrug it off like that.
You do need a vacation. Frank, I'm using this as an excuse, that's all. I've been meaning to ask you anyway. Come to New Jersey with me at Christmas.
Christmas? Oh, your family wouldn't like that.
Why not? They want to meet you.
But I'm a stranger, not at Christmas.
Your mother wouldn't mind.
I don't think so, but...
Frank, have you ever been to New York City?
Once.
Like it?
Loved it.
I live 13 miles from New York. You're always looking for freedom. What's more free than New York? We could do what we pleased.
We could be free for a while, couldn't we? New York.
Say you'll come.
Well, I... What a funny night, Kate. I think God wants to tell me something. Wants to help me find something. But I don't know what. Maybe he wants me to spend Christmas with you. Maybe that's all part of it.
Frank, did you know that one of the principal products manufactured in New Jersey, next to my locomotives, of course, is legends about George Washington? See that river to the left?
Mm-hmm.
That's the Hackensack River. George Washington waded across at low tide one night, and... there's the Hackensack Green. His whole army camped out in that patch of a hayfield. It was in the dead of winter and a full moon besides. Now, what do you think of it?
Not much. I've seen bigger hayfields in Wisconsin. The river... Isn't that funny smell coming from the river?
Frank, I like you. You're a girl after my own heart. Now, Kate here, she's apt to get all dewy-eyed and sentimental about anything historical. Why, when I first showed her Major Andre's house up the river, she almost cried over the fate of our notorious traitor.
Oh, Father, that's not true. You ought to see the house, Frank. It has the prettiest slanting roof and the...
Frank, you aren't much impressed with our New Jersey legends. How old does history have to be to impress you?
Mr. Jackson, I think history is important. But I won't say a smelly river is beautiful because Washington waded across it 75 years ago.
500 years?
Hmm?
Would history 500 years old impress you?
Don't tease, Father. Tell Frank what you mean.
Frank, you're a down-to-earth, level-headed woman with fine intelligence. You're not sentimental and wishy-washy like half of Kate's friends. You're a good influence on him.
Father, if you talk locomotive business this way, you'd be bankrupt.
All right, I'll get to the point. I've wanted Kate to go to Europe for years, but I didn't want her to go alone. I wanted a companion for her. I think you're it.
Mr. Jackson, Kate...
If you'll go to Europe as Kate's companion, I'll pay your way.
Oh, I couldn't.
She'll say that for a while, Daddy, but she'll give in.
Oh, I don't deserve it. I never thought I'd go to Europe. It's much too expensive. I couldn't.
Then you'll go?
Frank, please. Daddy's thought this over for months. That's what I meant about finding your freedom here. Frank, we'd be free. No classes, no bells, no girls.
What a wonderful way to spend the summer.
It's settled.
Oh, wait a minute. Did you say summer, Frank? That's nonsense. I want Kate to make this worth her while. I want her to go and live there for a year or two.
A year or two? How could we? We don't know the languages. We couldn't teach.
Not work, Frank. Just live.
You mean it would be wonderful, Frank. We'd never be the same again.
Don't teach school. Don't do anything but be free and independent. Learn about God's world and the creatures in it. That's what I'm offering you. What about it?
And so we conclude Chapter 9 of Frank Was Always a Lady, the story of Frances Willard. This is another in the series Stories of Great Christians, which come to you transcribed from the Moody Bible Institute of Chicago.